last week. We covered Luke chapter 11, a portion of it, where the disciples had witnessed Jesus going to a certain place and having a time of prayer, and he came back to them, and their desperation, their need to want to have that same power, that same strength that Jesus exhibited amongst them, was expressed in the statement, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Are there times in prayer with God that you're kind of dumbfounded? You just don't, things, I don't have the answers. I don't know exactly how to pray. And so rather than confusing the situation, I sit there quietly. And in fact, one of the things I'll love to do is to get out my Bible and start going through Psalms and asking God, is there anyone else that has gone through the things that I've gone through? And you start reading through the Psalms, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. There is someone else who took the time, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, to write down to us, here, this was a struggle that I faced, and this is what I did. God, I cry out to you. I need your help. Have you ever been that desperate? When there aren't any other answers coming in that, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to know that you are hearing my prayer, my cry. And then you read words like that and you go, huh. Yeah, you've heard me. You've answered. You are there. You do care about me. Oh, please. Please know this. God cares about each and every one of you. He cares about you so deeply that it pains him when you don't want to be in his presence. You know, it's I'm not going to bring it down to a human level. But it's kind of fun, isn't it, at times when you haven't been around certain family members and you have one of those things called like a reunion. And you find those family members that you were especially connected to. You know, there's some family members that, you know, like Ken and Kirk Sanzari, they probably don't want anything to do with each other because they're too much alike, being twins. Right. But no, that there are those that you just really connect to in your family, and you want to be with them, and it's like the sight of them, and you sit down and you start sharing, and things start going, and then you get up at the end of your conversation, you go, why aren't we talking like this more often? Why aren't we really sharing with each other like this? And you both shrug your shoulders and go, eh, you know, life is just really busy. It's kind of the way that many of us are with God. When you have those really special times of prayer and you just are really digging in and you just really feel God's presence, you kind of get done with that conversation, with that prayer, and you're going, wow, God, why don't I do this more often? Right? And we kind of shrug our shoulders and go, you know, sometimes time and life just gets so busy that, you know, and God goes, yeah, let's talk about busy. You think you're busy? I got all these prayers coming in from my people that I'm listening to, that I'm trying to pour myself out into. Don't be too busy for me. Don't be too busy for my presence, because in my presence, in my presence is the answer to everything that you need. Everything you need. You're created for more prayer. And I thought, since the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. That we'd go through a couple of stories that Jesus told, furthering in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. Here's a passage. And Lord God, not man's words. These are your words. These are the things that you want us to know about our relationship with you and how we should communicate with you. Lord, speak to us this morning. Let your Holy Spirit just infuse our thoughts and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. You can read along with me or read out loud. I love just hearing the word of God out loud. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them how they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Now, these are two different parables, stories that Jesus puts in his own way to capture their hearts and their minds, to get through to them a clear message of what he really wants them to get. So the first parable, the first story that relates to a truth, is about this widow. Now, this widow in this town has an adversary. And her plea to the judge is what? "Grant me justice against my adversary. Do you know that you and I have an adversary? Well, Pastor, let's state the obvious. Yes, if you are in love with Jesus, you are going to have an adversary, one who will try to kill, steal, and destroy any confidence, any hope, any knowledge about Jesus Christ. He will come bothering you even while you're in the midst of prayer. Maybe that's just my experience. I don't know. But the adversary does not want you talking to God. He just doesn't want it. Why? Because when you're talking to God, you are in touch with the most powerful entity in heaven and on earth. And Satan would rather disrupt that and have you accept lower standards. But guess what, folks? Because of Jesus Christ, we have access. That's entrance into the very presence of the Most High God, the one who spoke into existence everything that exists. We have that confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our adversary would like to tell us otherwise. Wouldn't he? He'd like to remind us of, well, wait a minute. You had a bad thought toward that person earlier this week. You reacted this way. Oh, you lost your anger over here. You failed in this way. He's always there to want to point out our failures. Amen? Never, never. Does Satan pat you on the back and say, hey, you're doing a great Christian job? He doesn't want to encourage your walk. He is out to destroy you, to discourage you, to do everything within his empowerment, which is very weak as compared to God. God is full on power. God is the one who would like to encourage you to just come spend time with him. Because it's in the presence of God that, you know what, my troubles just seem to diminish. Why? Because to look at God, I have to look through the windshield of my car, so to speak. What Satan wants us to do is concentrate on the rearview mirror and keep looking at our past and keep looking at our failures. We are not our failures. Amen? Failures are going to happen to us all. How do I know that? Because there's not one perfect person here. Not one. Not one of you are perfect. And so we don't look up to each other as, you're perfect. No. Don't even do that to me. Talk to Suzanne. She's got some wonderful information. Might blow your mind. But what's her plea? What was the whole reason that Jesus told the story? It's right there in the first sentence. Jesus told his disciples the story to do what? To show them how what? That they should always pray and what?
Not give up.
We should always pray and not give up. You know when we give up? When we say that the battle's too much. We give up when it just seems to be draining us of all of our energies and And God says, you know, I want to energize you. I don't want to drain you. And yet, so many times we feel like in our walk with God that it's like, oh, it's everything I can do just to keep this Christian thing going on. Amen? Always pray. Don't give up. Grant me justice against my adversary. You see, you've got an adversary, and he's going to keep throwing it out there at you. He's going to try to keep discouraging you. Why? Because his whole game plan, I mean, this is how football teams win against other football teams. They find out what their game plan is, and then they up it. They either ruin them with a better defense against their offense, or they go with a better offense than the defense that's facing them, right? And they end up being victors of the game. So to be the victor in the life, up your game by spending time with God. God doesn't want you defeated. What good is it to God to have a bunch of defeated Christians walking around? Oh, we're going so strong, we lost. How does that bring glory to God? Honestly. You know, and yet so many times our own countenance kind of just throws it out there, doesn't it? People, and I don't see myself doing this, but sometimes people will come up to me and they go, Pastor, why are you so down? Huh? And people sense it within you, right? Shirley and I have been working together for 18 years. Bless her pea-picking little heart. Actually, it's a very big heart. And there are times when we read each other. And I know not to enter that office. Because she's frustrated at that computer. She's frustrated with, you know, something's going on and you know, and vice versa. And yeah, it's a two-way street, right, Shirley? Thank you very much. And I gave you 50 minutes of charm there. 15 seconds. Yeah. There are times when she knows to just, she starts to enter my office and she gives that little tap of her fingernails on my door. And I'll turn around and give her that look. Never mind, I'll talk to you about it later. People can see when we have a down countenance or when we are so engrossed into something that it's like, this is not a good time to talk, is it? No. When my wife has just burnt a roast, it is not the time to run into her and go, hey, honey, I thought we... Oh, never mind. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry you burnt the roast. You know, it's not my time to bring up my stuff. Instead, it's time for me to minister to her needs. But people can see the expressions, the emotions in our countenance, in the way that we are. I'm reading a good book again, Charles Swindoll. The name of the book is Laugh Again. And the whole idea is to understand that God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be carefree. It's funny because I see this exhibited not just in churches, but even out in everyday life. The other night, Suzanne and I had a date night. We haven't had a date night for a while, but we had a date night. We went down to Scottsdale Riverwalk. We were already in Phoenix, so it was good. We had intentionally decided to have a date night. And there was this really tight band, and they were playing some really good music. Like, play that funky music, white boy. And my feet, my foot started tapping. And then my body started moving. And Suzanne's like, let's go dance. And I was like, no, there are people watching. You know, we get so worried about what other people are going to think. I mean, I got some funky moves. I haven't used them in a long time. But I believe they're pretty funky. And yet, I looked past all the adults, and over here in the grass, next to the bandstand, are these children. And these kids, though they didn't even know the song, and the guys up there singing it with all the gusto, play that funky music, white boy. Oh. And people are getting down. This little kid, man, he's just losing it. Oh, yeah. And then I look over, and here's this adult man. And he's playing like imaginary drums. And people are looking. We have lost the ability to just let ourselves go like we used to when we were kids. We think that as adults, all of a sudden, it's really cool to act distinguished, to not let ourselves go. That's not how God made us. Do you understand that joy is a gift from God? It's a gift. Have you received it? I look at some of your faces and go, definitely not. I look at others of you and I go, oh yeah, you got the gift of joy, because ain't nothing gonna spoil your stuff. You're not gonna be down and discouraged about things that are going on in life. Why? Because you've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Down in my heart, I got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's some excitement when I hear that song by Pharrell. Come along if you can, because happiness is your goo. Right? I mean, I can't help but get excited about that kind of music. If music can push you to that kind of stuff, why can't the presence of God? Disneyland is not the happiest place on earth. Spoiler alert! The happiest place on earth is when you are communing with God. That's the happiest place. That's the place where ain't nothing going to touch this. Why? Because I'm protected by my Heavenly Father. If this judge, the Lord said, if this unjust judge, who doesn't even fear God, doesn't even care about men, would give in, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Always pray. Never give up. He will see that they get justice. And what? Quickly. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Will he find it? He's looking for it. Faith is people being on their knees before God and saying, God, I can't handle all the situations going on around me, but I know you're a God who can. I give my faith in you, not in me. To another one, the second story, the second parable that Jesus tells. To some who were what? I underlined it for you there. To some who were what?
Confident
of their own what? And looked down on everybody else. Oh, my, my, my. Have you ever seen this in the church? Not Mountain Valley. No. But have you seen this in the church? People so confident of their own righteousness that they look down on everybody else. Oh, they're so pious. Oh, they think their stuff just doesn't stink. They think they are so golden that they've got the golden ticket and they look down on you. They judge you. Well, he's worn that same shirt for 3 Sundays in a row. He's not there in a suit. Why not? After all, he should get the message, seeing Brother Willie and Brother John. They dress up in suits every time. Does this man not own suits? Oh, yes, I do. Come to a wedding, come to a funeral. You will see me in one. Come to the gala tonight for Mayor Skoog. His goodbye. You will see me in a suit. Why? Because the town has been gracious enough to ask me to come do the invocation for them. What an honor. The fact the town manager told me face to face, Don, I hope you're not busy November 11th. We've already got you penciled into the program. We'd like to have you come and do the invocation. Harvey would love to have you come and do the invocation. Yeah, I'm very honored. I'm very honored that people outside of this church see my relationship with God and that they would want to bring honor to that. So I'm entreating your prayers for me tonight. I said, I get a free plate, don't I? The plates are $50 in a person. He says, yeah, I think we can take care of that. I said, but my wife wants to come. Then you better put up $50. Thank you. To some who were so confident of their own righteousness, they looked down upon everybody else. I do not want to belong to a church like that. I want to belong to a church where we look at each other and we're joyful that we see each other. And I hear that, folks. I hear it when we're getting ready and I hear the chatter out there in the foyer, y'all visiting with each other and getting all chummy and getting all high on sugar. And then you come in here and the sugar hits and you're all like, These two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up, and what was his mistake? He prayed about himself. He prayed about himself. I'm sorry I did not underline that. That should have been underlined. Because this is where a lot of people's prayers become maligned. It's just all about themselves. Oh God, just in case you hadn't noticed, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Ha! Those robbers, those evildoers, those adulterers. Or even that guy. That's right, that guy. That tax collector. What? I mean, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Boy, aren't I just something for your kingdom? And God would just be sitting there shaking his head going, oh yeah, you're something all right. But you ain't for my kingdom. You're for your own kingdom. Because you're propping yourself up pretty high there, buddy. And then he shows us the attitude of the tax collector. The tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, none of us should look down on the other person because we all have our sins. We all have our places where we deliberately disobey God. We've all done it. And if anyone in this room says otherwise, you are a liar. In fact, some of us, our sins are so unholy that if we were granted the courage to really stand up and talk about it. I mean, I read articles all the time that talk about that in the church today, that there is an epidemic of people, of men especially, looking at pornography on their computers. Engrossed in looking at female bodies on their computers. The percentage just it said that over 40% of men who call themselves Christians are locked into the computer and looking at pornography. It's not just men. Women have the same problem, just not as high a percentage. That's why I say we could all spin what our sin is specifically. And James tells us that we are to confess our sins one to another. Did somebody just turn the heater up? Got a little warm in here, Pastor. Don't worry. I'm not going to have you stand up and tell what your sin is. Somebody just turned the air conditioning back on. But let us realize, we all have a problem dabbling in sin, and we shouldn't. Not and turn around and call ourselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. How are we exalting him in our life, even our private life? You know, it says, I've heard the saying that you can tell someone who's a true believer, they are one who will still follow Jesus even if no one else is watching. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Micah 6, chapter 8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. That's what God requires of you. Have confidence in his presence. Jesus paid a great price for you to be able to enter in. Don't be an ashamed Christian. Be one who is proud to be known as a child of God. Because the world, just like Satan, will be there to point out if you are anything but the Christian ideal that they think you should be. Can I hear an amen on that one? Because people are watching you. Even if you are not the strongest Christian in the church, people are watching you. They're watching your life. They're watching what you say. They're watching what you do. They're watching whether or not you are one who brings the presence of God into the situation or whether you just walk in, oh, I can sink down to that level, and you get in there with them at their level instead of bringing their level up to what you are in. You are in a relationship with God, one that brings him honor, that brings him glory. Amen? Don't be a hypocrite. Live it strong for the Lord. And you do that by always praying and not giving up. You're created for more prayer.